Exodus 17. We're going to start talking about a little Zohar stuff. One of the things that I found from the Zohar, which I hadn't seen anywhere in the Talmud, was that the ancients considered that this passage that we're going to read now took place on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. It's Exodus 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek. Remember who Amalek is. Amalek is always the flesh. Amalek, Herod, was an ancestor of Amalek. Agag was an ancestor of Amalek. You, after the flesh, are an ancestor of Amalek. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Then Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and I will go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the other side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord God said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, Jehovah Nissi obviously means the Lord. We've talked about the Lord is my only identity. The Lord is my only banner. Now that will be tested. And that's what the meaning of Rosh Hashanah is that the Lord is your only identity. Now the other thing that happened is the deal that happened allegedly in Rosh Hashanah is the deal with the serpent. The serpent, the brazen serpent, when it was held up, when they were bit by the fiery serpents. We'll study that later. But the Zohar goes through all these mystical things of what happened on these various feast days. And the idea is that by the blowing of the ram's horn, Amalek is discomfited.
And Moses was in actuality holding up the serpent. Right? It was the rod God that turned into a serpent.
Yeah. But anyway, now let's look at some of the readings, because we're going to be hell-bent to finish all these readings. Let's go first to set the stage. Leviticus 23. Verse 23.
Chapter 20, verse 23.
Right.
No, 23.
What is it?
Oh, chapter 23, verse 23. I'm sorry. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Well, that's the Levitical injunction or command to celebrate the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. And it happens in the seventh month. The seventh month is the beginning of months. And we can go into all that a lot of interesting ways. The sun reflects on the moon on every day except the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. There's no light seen on the new moon. The sun is always there. And the greater light is ruling the day, and the lesser light is ruling the night. The sun is always there, but in the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, you can't see it.
The moon is always there?
I mean, the sun is always there, and the moon is always... No, the sun is what I'm concerned about. The moon's only purpose is to reflect the light of the sun. Mm-hmm. That's what Christ did. The sun is symbolic of the Father, and the moon is symbolic of the sun.
But on Rosh Hashanah...
There's no reflection. It's a new moon.
Any new moon.
Any new moon.
But on Rosh Hashanah, is this like...
Right.
Once a year, seeing it for what it really means.
So, the Zohar has this weird deal that from the 1st to the 10th of the month, the light doesn't shine any light. I mean, the moon doesn't shine any light from the sun. That it's a phony light that they see. It's only on the days of awe that you can never judge by anything that's discerned by the senses. And then after the offering is made on the Feast of Yom Kippur, then the light shines. And it comes into its fullness. The fullness of the light shines on the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's the full moon. So interestingly enough, just the way it's worked out, the way we're celebrating these feasts, you know, the days we're not using because we're doing a type and we do it so it's available. On Saturday, when we study the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, it really is the new moon. And when we, or just about anyway, I mean, it's so you can't see it until late at night, so we won't be able to see the moon. But on when we're out camping for the Feast of Yom Kippur, it'll be the full moon. So, do you understand the relationship? Now, this mystery, that part of the mystery is revealed once a month. The idea that it's at the beginning of months, revelation is, because again, remember, from God's standpoint, we're living in the dark. We're in the one day and we're the dark of the day. So, we look up and there's no light. The moon stopped giving her light. And that's repeated every month, the new moon. And then at the 14th, it gives its fullness, and the process is inexorable. Just as we see from, as we've been studying about the stars, that the fullness of the story is told, in that case, every night. So,
what was that about the false light? I didn't quite
know. Oh, that was just they were just trying to, yeah, just Zohar stuff. Yeah, that's a gloss on the... Now, I'm having a difficulty trying to decide what readings we're going to read now and what readings we'll read then. Let's go to Psalm 81. Psalm 81 is one of the readings. Psalm 89, 1 to 15, is one of the readings. And Psalm 98, those are some of the psalms that are read. Again, remember now, this psalm was repeated every new moon, by the way. These were all repeated at each new moon, so that, I mean, during the course of the temple readings. That's one of the things that we've got to do, and I got all the knowledge in my head, but I've got to get it on paper some way, is when each of the psalms were read. Because you need to see that in terms of, that'll become important. The other thing we're going to do is get to you the 18 prayers that were the daily prayers in the temple. It's especially that'll be interesting to teach the kids. There's all kinds of stuff like that, and I'll have to start thinking about now, because it doesn't do any good to have it just here anymore. Okay. How are you going to Xerox my hand?
Yeah. We can do that. Both combined well.
Close the lid, we can do it.
Okay, so what I'm saying is this psalm is read when there's no... Now, you understand that... Does everybody understand? I keep talking about the moon, and I hope you understand what it means. The moon is to reveal the reflected glory of the Father. And its process... I mean, it's not up there as an accident. And the process of it being seen as what as the process is happens every month. So the new moon, every month, these psalms are read in the temple. So, and they knew this. I mean, they knew that the lesser moon revealed or ruled the night. That's what it says in Genesis. And they understood that the lesser moon was connected with Messiah. I mean, the lesser light was connected with Messiah. The greater light was connected with Jehovah. The Messiah became the reflected light of the Father. Everybody got that?
What about the night? Does that mean something different?
Well, the night is always... The day, the Jewish day, begins at sunset. So the night, from God's standpoint, there's only one day. I mean, we've been living in the one day for 2,000 years. That's why Christ said, "The night cometh when no man can work." When Christ was crucified, it was... the universal night at that point. It's the famine of Messiah, when there's a famine of hearing the word of God.
It's that we were in the latter part of the day?
When the day star arises, then time shall be no more. The day dawn in your heart. You know, that's why you take heed as to the light shining in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. But you got to remember this, otherwise you'll get confused in all these scriptures. But from God's standpoint, the beginning of the last day took place at the cross. We are still in the night of that day.
Not to be flipped, but I'm convinced that that is the origin, has to do with the origin of the legends, the werewolf kinds, the vampire kinds of legends that go through so many cultures.
Well, wait until you see what, yeah.
When the day dawns, the blood eaters will be destroyed.
All right.
So we're still in the night, but as soon as the day dawns, that's the end of time. Is that what you mean?
Kiss your sister.
That's why the last day prophecies, you know, that's why Jesus said the law and the prophets prophesied until John. Not this John. Okay, so now, this psalm is read on the feast of Rosh Hashanah, but it's also read on each of the new moons. So, they're not seeing the glory. They're not seeing anything. That's the point of it. You got to get that straight in your mind. You can't see anything.
It's hidden.
It's like this Southern Cross that we study in Bananas. The Southern Cross can't be seen from the Northern Hemisphere. You can't see the cross with the senses. You never can see the cross from the Promised Land by the senses.
Yeah, and the North is religion and all that stuff too.
Right. The North is Babylon.
You can't see,
the cross.
Hidden.
Okay, you got all this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we're singing this joyful psalm when nothing is seen. That's what I want you to understand. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow the trumpet in the new moon. Now, when it says blow the trumpet is the shofar. Blow the ram's horn in the new moon. In the time appointed, on our solemn feast day, for this was a statute in Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I have removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall be no strange god in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now, for me, the idea or the act or the timing of sending you out is, for me, again, symbolically, taking the Passover with staff in hand, with the shoes on the feet and the loins girded. You understand that? Because there's nothing there. I mean, there's air there. Just like this group of people came from nothing. A word was spoken and you became into being. So also, what's going to happen in you will call forth something from nothing. And it's been spoken, therefore it's done. You understand? Now, it's been spoken at the time in which there was no doubt in me. Prior to that, the cloud was down, even though I wanted to speak it 10 years ago. So the cloud has been down. Now the cloud is raised. I can speak and believe what I speak, not wavering. Therefore, it's a certainty it shall come to pass. Because whatsoever you say in my name shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. It's not using the name of Christ as a magic mantra, but it's waiting on God until the doubt is removed. Therefore, you can speak it with confidence, knowing that that which you've spoken has already been done by your Father which is in heaven. But it's also waiting in confidence. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that wait for him.
See this connection, you know, I was talking in this psalm about the God of Jacob. Jacob waited 14 years.
Amen. So, you got all this?
Also, I was thinking about... I was thinking about the formation of the body, but also I was thinking about a word was spoken out of nothing that wasn't new.
Amen. 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 Okay. I proved thee, or tested thee, at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall be no strange god in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice. Now here's the part. This is why Israel, this is why the Old Testament existed. So that you can see by empathy their rebellion and not repeat it. My people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' desires, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies. I should have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Understand? You now are faced with the necessity to hang your life. Because I doubt very seriously that any of you can now be concerned with career objectives. You have to hang your life on his faithfulness. Okay, Psalm 89. Just 1 through 15, fortunately, because it's a very long psalm. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations.
It's the psalm.
For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Wherefore you never again have to walk in cause and effect. Mercy has been brought, or if you don't know it yet, on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, mercy is called down to time. Mercy is called down from eternity to time. Remember, you got to understand this. I've said it before, but I don't think you understand it. Everything in time is the judgment seat. Everything in eternity is the mercy seat. Now we've called mercy into time. The Word became flesh. Now we are partakers of that mercy. Everything in time is the judgment seat. Everything in eternity is the mercy seat. Amen? That's why you must recognize your only residence is the New Jerusalem. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. That's why Jesus said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Like in vessels?
Yeah. That's why he said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for by observation is in time. But the kingdom of God is within you, where your true residence is, the New Jerusalem. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heaven shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Now, do you know who Rahab is?
Egypt.
Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand, and high as thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know, and here they say the joyful sound, when it really said is, blessed or happy is the people that know the sound of the ram's horn. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance.
That's the reflected.
If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then have you fellowship one with another. Right? Okay, Psalm 98. Now just here we just read 1 through 6. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things, for his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Doesn't depend on you anymore. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise in rejoicing and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp, with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. That's enough. Now, we've got to read Psalm 47 seven times. The walls of Jericho will fall down, and then we've got to read the law. Now, you remember what, when it says what? Remember Nehemiah, the people. I'll read it again. You don't remember? I can tell by your faces. I can never find Nehemiah.
While you're looking for that, I guess
I found it. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. In Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest of the scribe, and the Levites taught the people. They said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither ye be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Guess what? That means the gospel was preached unto them. Because he caused them to hear the words of the law, they read distinctly and gave sense and caused them to understand the meaning. They were all bent out of shape. And then there was joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, the question is, what did they read when it says they read the law? Huh?
They would have read the Torah.
Only a very small section of it. Remember,
Exodus
19 to 21 or 22. That's what we'll read.
When was that, though? Was that on Rosh Hashanah?
It's Rosh Hashanah.
No, that was really Rosh Hashanah. That's Nehemiah what?
8. 1 through 10 is the reading. I just read 8 through 10.
Why a ram's horn?
Huh?
Why a ram's horn? I mean, I have some suspicions, but I want to...
Because
It was connected with Isaac's sacrifice. And Abraham allegedly said, Abraham allegedly said approximately this. This is targuming what Abraham said.
Approximate quotations.
Yeah. Targuming the Talmud.
Targuming
the
Talmud.
Loose quotation.
He said, Father, I know that in future generations, thy people will make errors. So, because thou this day hast offered the ram in place of Isaac, so therefore shall I blow the ram's horn on this day, that you may remember the faithfulness of Isaac.
Wow.
Didn't I ever tell you that before?
No, that's a chill on you.
Read the book.
Yeah, it's in the book.
You can't get a copy of that thing.
I went to the bookstore, but it's not there yet.
Big Barbara. Different for you.
Two of the Psalms we just read, they get read on the birthday of Christ, and two of them are talking about God's right arm, his right hand getting the victory. And I live with these silly pictures in my head, but when we read that, what I saw, it's like this great big aquarium where these fish are swimming around thinking that the inside of the aquarium is what's going on. Then I realized that we're out there watching. And suddenly, on Rosh Hashanah, this great big right arm comes down into the aquarium and starts
messing with him.
He stuck his hand into time and space.
Man.
That's good.
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.